This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Hello again. Welcome back to the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McCobus of orangefloods.com. And yes, if you're wondering, hey, we just had an Extra Bases podcast a couple of days ago. Usually do one a week. Yeah, that's normally the case. Unfortunately, there's Texas baseball that's hit with some bad news recently. Literally less than 24 hours after I recorded that podcast, the latest edition of Extra Bases, in which we talked a lot about where Texas should be ranked in the preseason top 25. Gotten into a lot of college baseball recruiting and the difference between how one program can have 11.7 scholarships and another one can have 11.7 scholarships but are able to operate with more. So if you want to go back and listen to some happier discussions, if you're a Texas baseball fan, by all means, go back and check out Friday's edition of the Extra Bases podcast. But really felt like I needed to do another one after the news that Texas junior infielder David Hamilton, their shortstop, a two-year starter at shortstop, was probably going to be one of the best shortstops in the country this season. He ruptured his Achilles, underwent successful Achilles surgery on Friday to repair that rupture, and he is out for the entire 2019 season. I hate to say it if you're a Texas fan, but that was the one guy. Like, if you just put the roster in front of me and said, hey, rank the top five guys that Texas just can't lose. They've got to have these guys the entire season. Hamilton would have been an easy pick for number one. Not only is he a leadoff guy, stole 31 bases last year, started to show some pull side pop, had more walks than strikeouts. This is a guy, when he gets into the batter's box, if he gets on first base, it's a double. And he's probably going to score because he's such a great base stealer. And also has been good this past season at getting on base. But the biggest blow might be the defense. Yeah, this is a guy with elite range, makes some just extraordinary plays defensively, gets the balls that, you know, a vast, vast majority of college shortstops can't even get to. Heck, most pro shortstops can't even get to the types of balls that he gets to sometimes with his range and his athleticism and his quickness. And that's a premium position, especially in the college level, where you don't find many great defensive shortstops because those guys normally end up in pro baseball out of high school. So that to me is the biggest blow for Texas is the defense. Yeah, they're going to miss David Hamilton at the top of the order and the threat he presents when he gets on first base and the likelihood that he scores when he gets on first base with less than two outs. But really, the defense is what Texas is going to miss the most, I think, because he's just such a big-time player at a premium spot and probably the most difficult position besides catcher to play in college baseball, and that's going to be a blow. That was we actually broke the news at orangeblitz.com Saturday morning before Texas sent out the release to confirm it. I can't imagine what David Pierce and Sean Allen and those guys were thinking, you know, knowing that they're about to get the season going. They opened their official practices on January 25th. I believe they'll have group voluntary workouts starting really soon if they haven't started already. So they're gearing up for the season to start. I mean, the season begins on February 15th. So we're essentially a month away from the beginning of the Texas baseball season, which will Texas hopes plays all the way out into a College World Series again. I can't imagine what those guys were thinking, knowing that was the guy besides, you know, even more so than DJ Petrinsky, because they're going to want to give him a day off here or there because he's a catcher, keep his legs fresh. That was the guy they knew they were going to pencil in the lineup every single day at shortstop, was David Hamilton. To lose that defensive presence and that top-of-the-order presence, it's a significant blow for Texas. And I found it interesting, you know, last podcast we were discussing where Texas should be ranked in the preseason top 25. And I saw D1Baseball.com release their rankings today. They had Texas at number 23, and I saw Kendall Rogers tweet out that they factored in the Hamilton loss in a way that moved Texas down their rankings list, which just goes to show you how important of a player he is. I don't know where Kendall and those guys would have had Texas. I would guess, from the way he made it sound, probably something around 17 or 18. So let's just call it a five-spot move back in the preseason rankings because of the loss of David Hamilton for the season. That's how impactful of a player he is for Texas. And this is a Texas team. You know, I went back and looked again today based on the preseason rankings of D1Baseball.com. Let me pull this up right now. This schedule is brutal. I've talked about it before. The, you know, 38 games against possible NCAA tournament teams. Just, you know, look at the schedule based on the D1 rankings. So they play three games against LSU at home. They play four games on the road at number 12 Stanford. They play three games at home against number 3 Texas Tech. They play Arkansas. They host them for two games in a midweek series. Arkansas is number 16. At TCU, number 19 TCU for three road games. On the road at Baylor, number 15 Baylor for three road games. And then on the road at Stillwater against number 18 Oklahoma State for another three-game series. And then that doesn't – so that's – let me do some quick math here. I only took pre-Cal at Texas, and I did not finish it very well. Let's see, 7, 10, 12. That's 21 games right there against teams within the top 18 of D1 Baseball's preseason list. And that doesn't even consider the two midweek games against Rice. Four games at home against Purdue, who, while they're not ranked, they finished second in the Big Ten last year and made the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. And then they open the season with three games at Louisiana Lafayette. And then they play three games against Oklahoma at home, who I think is you know, I know they lost a ton, but they're going to be a competitive bunch. And then, obviously, the midweek game against Texas A&M, who I think I saw Kendall say was one of the first teams outside of their preseason top 25. Texas has a real chance of playing the number one strength of schedule in the country. There's no breaks in this schedule. You look at the Big 12 was very well represented on the D1 Baseball Top 25, as expected. That didn't even list teams like Oklahoma, and West Virginia has one of the better Friday night arms in the league, so that's going to give them a chance to be in every series that they play in the conference. It's a tough schedule, and it just got tougher knowing that now Texas is going to have to play somebody at shortstop that hasn't really played that position at Texas, or in the case of Bryce Reagan, hasn't played it really in college. He's a true freshman. Again, you're listening to the Extra Bases podcast on theact.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, and you know we're going through the unfortunate news of junior infielder David Hamilton rupturing his Achilles and being out for the season for Texas. Just a massive blow for the Longhorns. Grab a quick sip of coffee here. So the potential replacements. I mentioned Reagan, a true freshman. He reminds me a lot of Brett Boswell, who was also a prep shortstop before he came to Texas and kind of played some third. Ended up settling in at second his last season, having a really good season. Reagan is a switch hitter, but he's from the left side. His swing looks similar to Boswell. It's got some length to it, but it's got some of that lift. It's got some of that pop. You know, he's an athletic kid. I think he's listed at 6'2". I want to say he's listed at 6'2", like 190 or something like that. Good-looking kid physically. Got a lot of things working for him. He's got some athleticism. I mentioned the length in the swing, but he's got some pop as well. I think as he gets more confident in the batter's box, you'll start to see that bat speed increase and that aggressiveness, which I think is going to help him drive the baseball. But that's sometimes you don't see that from guys until they're in a college program for a full season or something like that. But he's also similar to Boswell from the sense of early in the career, Boswell struggled with his confidence. And I'm not saying Reagan did that. I mean, he's only gone through a fall. We haven't seen him play an actual game yet. But when the... let's say that, you know, I'm doing air quotes here, when the lights came on and Texas played somebody else besides Texas in those exhibition games, the game sped up on Reagan some. The routine plays became more difficult than Texas had expected because this was a guy in practices that really impressed people with his glove. I think the reputation coming in was that the bat was ahead of the glove. And then once practice started, it was like, whoa, okay, the glove might be better than the bat, which isn't saying negative things about the bat, but that speaks to how much he impressed Texas with what he could do defensively. And he was going to be in the mix, I think, at second base. Heck, he still might be. I don't think this rules him out of there. Maybe even at third base. He kind of moved around the diamond at some different places. But in those exhibition games against other teams, you know, just the eyes were a little wide. And that's not uncommon for a true freshman in those first experiences in a college game against legitimate competition that isn't wearing the same uniform. You know, that happened to a lot of freshman pitchers at Texas. That happened to some other hitters. And then as the fall went on, guys started to grow into it and get more used to it. But I think that while Reagan is more purely talented, Texas is going to need somebody at shortstop to at least make the routine plays in an above average level or better. I don't know if Reagan can give them that early on. The other guy that's going to be competing for that spot is Mason Hibler, who's a senior. He actually played shortstop at Odessa College before he transferred to Texas before last season. And, you know, was in some competition with David Hamilton for that shortstop job. I don't know how much I believed that because, you know, Hamilton was just so good with the glove as a freshman. But I think Texas wanted to push him a little bit and give him some competition to push his button some and get some, you know, better production out of him. But Mason Hibler played shortstop at Odessa College. That's what Texas recruited him as, was a shortstop, middle infielder. And it turned out to be he was such a great utility guy that was really good defensively in the outfield that he found a home there. So now it's going to be Reagan and Hibler competing for that starting shortstop spot. Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball actually caught up with David Pierce to briefly discuss, hey, where do you guys go from here after the Hamilton news? And he mentioned Ryan Reynolds might also be a possibility to play shortstop. While I think that Reynolds would probably make the routine play at a high level, I mean, his biggest deficiency at third base was the lack of range. And, you know, I know that's a different position. You're closer to home. It's more first step reactionary, you know. But shortstop, too, you've got to have some range. You've got to be able to get to some balls. I mean, that's why a guy like Hamilton was so valuable because of just all the baseballs he could get to. But I did find it interesting that Pierce threw out Reynolds as a guy that might get a look there. But I really think it's going to be one of Hibler and Reagan. What happens there will probably play a role in how the rest of the lineup shakes out. But I think that those two guys are going to be the main competition at shortstop. And really, I think Texas is just going to try to find the guy that can make the routine play at the highest level. But I do go back to one thing. When this staff first arrived, they were going through almost like a revolving door of guys looking at shortstop. And eventually, and David Hamilton, his first fall, I remember watching him, it didn't really showcase everything. It was like he was trying to feel himself out, try to feel the college game out, didn't really let loose and play. Didn't really see the true David Hamilton-type talent until the actual season rolled around. So there was a point in time where Texas didn't know, you know, what they're going to do at shortstop, but they elected to play the young guy. The thinking is, well, if we've got these guys that are basically even, why don't we play the young guy and let him get better? That's the guy that's going to be here in our program for 3 years. If there's not much separation, play the young guy and let him grow into the position and hope that it pays dividends long term. And with Hamilton, it did. He had a really good sophomore season. So I wonder how much of that will be weighed into the equation with a guy like Reagan, who if they view they have to view him as a long-term significant piece of the puzzle. Would they be more willing to, if the competition's even or fairly even, just to let him grow into the position? But really, I think that that's something that's going to play out during the games because I just don't know if they're going to see enough in practice to be fully confident one guy one way or another. I think that that's something that's going to play out through the first games of the season. And plus, too, with Hibler's ability to literally play all over the diamond, like he can play everywhere besides pitcher and catcher, although I wouldn't put it past him. He could probably catch, too. That gives Texas some mix and match ability. I don't know why I can't speak right now. That would be important for a guy doing a podcast, which involves talking is speaking. But mix and match with Hibler, either playing somewhere in the outfield or playing maybe at third, playing maybe at second, I wouldn't rule out maybe he gets some reps at first base. Just be able to put a best lineup on the field. Perhaps if you want to sit Reagan against left-handers, I know that he's a switch hitter. But to me, I mean, I have to look back at my notes. I'm pretty confident that the left side looked better than the right side, I think. So if that's a platoon situation with him initially early on. But, you know, I think both of those guys are going to get a chance in games early on to go take that job. I kind of view Reynolds more as a last-ditch type thing, unless he's just so much better in practice that he just takes that job and gets an opportunity to start with it. So we'll see how it plays out, but some unfortunate news for Texas in that David Hamilton, their junior infielder, is out for the 2019 season. You know, that offensively, in terms of a top-of-the-order bat, I would look at guys like Duke Ellis, who is a junior this year, comes back, can run. He definitely has some speed. Very feisty in the batter's box. He's competitive. He's not afraid to get deep in counts. Puts the ball in play at a pretty high rate for a guy that gets deep into counts a lot. Is somebody that can, you know, show your lineup, you know, what a guy has with a competitive first at bat of the game. So I think he'd be a main candidate there to lead off games. Eric Kennedy, who, you know, there are two freshmen that really, really earned a lot of praise from David Pierce about what they were doing in the batter's box, and there was Eric Kennedy and Lance Ford. Ford figures to be a big part of the mix at second base, pushing for a potential starting job there because of the really steady, solid fall that he had in the batter's box. But Kennedy was the other one. He has a mature approach about him. He understands who he is. He didn't get overwhelmed in the batter's box. The game wasn't too fast for him. And he can really, really run. I mean, he's Hamilton type fast. You know, I think I've had David down the line sometimes on drag bunts at like 3.6, high 3.6, which is unbelievable. I mean, that is flying. I had Kennedy down the line sometimes at 3.8. I mean, that's really, really big time speed. He's strong. He's physical for a shorter guy, which isn't that surprising. I mean, he's the younger brother of former Longhorn Nick Kennedy, and their father has been a strength and conditioning coach at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, they know their way around the weight room, and you can tell. I think he'd be a candidate to potentially lead off when you consider just what he presents with the speed dynamic. I think he's got a little hidden pop in there as well. Just really showed a mature approach in the batter's box. And, you know, if you want a guy like Ellis to hit behind him who can maybe handle the bat a little bit better, maybe that's something to look into. But they do have some options they could put up there at the top of the order. The big difference will be that I think heading into the season with Hamilton, speed was going to be an enormous asset for them. They're going to have some guys in the lineup that could really, really run. And that would be a threat to steal a base anytime they were on the bases, whether that was stealing second or stealing third. Heck, in the case of Hamilton, maybe even stealing home. Now that's not as much of a strength. They're still going to have that presence in the lineup in some spots, but it's not going to be the strength that it was. I mean, I think a lot of their run production was going to benefit from just being really athletic and being able to run, you know, first and third, stealing bases, being aggressive, pushing the action, those types of things. You know, because they got to replace a guy in Cody Clemens. I think they won't be able to do that as much now with Hamilton. But this is a lineup I think that it's going to still have a lot of maturity. It's going to still have the ability to go right, left a lot with you know, especially when you look at the outfield, just a surplus of available options that they have there. So it's going to have the right, left ability depending on the pitcher. It's going to have some speed, some athleticism. It's going to have a little pop. It really just comes down to there was points last season where the bottom few spots in the order were just outs. And that can't happen this year when you miss a guy like Cody Clemens, who was so amazing down the stretch of the season, just put the offense on his back at times. They're going to need more consistency 1 through 9. And I think that they can find that. If these freshmen, you know, mainly Ford and Kennedy, who really had strong falls, if these freshmen can carry that into the season and give them a little boost, I think you can look at a lineup that 1 through 9 can put competitive at-bats together, because there are going to be a lot of guys in this lineup that are mature players that have been through at least one college season, and it's at least one college season that resulted in going to the College World Series. And that's something that we saw with Tennessee Tech. Not a lineup that was filled with a bunch of pro draft caliber guys. A lot of seniors, a lot of juniors, a lot of guys that had a ton of experience, a lot of physical guys that they understood who they were in the batter's box. They were competitive. I think that's the kind of lineup Texas could have. But make no mistake, they're going to miss Cody Clemens, and now they're going to miss David Hamilton just because of the run-scoring threat he is every single time he's on base. I mean, it's huge to have a guy like that in the lineup to where if he gets on first, he's probably going to be in scoring position no matter what. And then if you just get a single, he's going to score. I mean, that's the kind of run scoring production he has to the lineup. So we'll see how Texas handles it. It does sound like Mason Hibler and Bryce Reagan will be the two main guys competing for that starting shortstop position. Again, you're listening to the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas. We're just going over the very unfortunate news about David Hamilton being out for the season with a ruptured Achilles. He already went successful surgery on Friday. It's a big blow for Texas, but Hamilton's my guy. I mean, I've been the president of the Hamilton fan club for a while. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, when he hit like 219 his first year, I was pointing to the batting average and balls in play and the fact that, you know, he didn't strike out at a high rate. He was just kind of unlucky. He made me look smart last year when I said he could maybe steal 40 bags. He stole 31. And I think I still contend there's like four or five that were bad calls that he should have been rewarded steals for. So he should have been closer to 40 than he was. But that's my guy, man. He's so exciting. You know, he's the guy that you show up to the ballpark and you think he's going to do something that you don't see every day, whether it's, you know, chasing dudes down in a rundown. Like, I mean, what was the game when he was a freshman? He basically, you know, chased two guys down in the infield and tagged him out, you know, on his own in a rundown. Just stuff like that. So it's a bummer from that sense. A bummer for a kid who's a good kid. And from the draft perspective, grab a quick sip of water here. From the draft perspective, it's a tough decision. This is a player that if he would have had this year, the season that I think he thought he was going to have. Let's say he hits 300, gets on base at a good rate, more walks and strikeouts, shows a little pop, more consistent with the arm defensively. If he had that kind of season, I think that he could have been a second-round pick. You know, just when you consider he's an 80 runner, the glove is plus, the range is plus-plus. I know the people are kind of split on the hitting. He's a really athletic player. He's a confident player. I think that over time, he would have what it takes mentally to make the adjustments required in minor league baseball to hit at a level that can elevate his glove to be in a, you know, maybe a future everyday guy. So that's if he was going to have that kind of season, you're looking at maybe a second round pick. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a big selection. And now I think that's totally up in the air. I talked to a couple scouts about, you know, hey, what does this do for a guy's draft stock, or what does it do? You know, how do you view this guy? And it's like any draft; it only takes one team. So with you know the way teams are drafting now, and especially these teams that have more picks, you know, more compensatory picks or extra picks because of free agency or whatever, that have more signing bonus pool to work with. They are able to take a gamble on a guy here or there in the first 10 rounds and maybe pay him a little bit more. But we're talking about a guy coming off that's going to be still rehabbing from an Achilles injury. Like, nobody's going to be able to see him run. Nobody's going to be able to see him hit. Nobody's going to be able to see him field. You're basically going off what you saw his sophomore and freshman seasons. And also, you've got to be confident in that he's going to be the same guy when he comes back from this injury. So, on one hand, if you're Hamilton, you might be thinking, or, you know, I'm sure some fans are thinking this way. Hey, just, you know, why doesn't he go back to school and play? Well, that's fine, but he goes back to school, he loses all his leverage, even though he'd be a redshirt junior. I mean, people would know, hey, you're basically a senior by years, you're pro clock is ticking. You got to sign, man. So, yeah, he could come back if he proves he's 100% and he has a great season. I mean, it's going to help him. But he's still not going to have that leverage. So if a team comes to him and says, hey, you know, we'll take you in the fourth round and pay you close to slot, that's a tough decision to make. That's because there's no guarantee that that sort of position in that sort of signing bonus is going to be there after the following season when he comes back from injury. So I don't know. I mean, it's way too early to have a feel on whether he'd come back or not. I just know from the scouts I've talked to, you know, the base, it was kind of, hey, it's obviously a tough injury to come back from, but it only takes one team. If one team feels confident and they want to take a chance, they'll take a chance. But I mean, if you look at a playing perspective, I would think that most people would think going back to school and proving that you're healthy and playing would help. But I mean, that's tough. It's a tough position to be in. I mean, I always say when you think about these guys that relates to the professional futures, it's hard to be in their shoes. You just don't know. You know, you just don't know what the thought process is and things like that. So, you know, ultimately, I know Texas would love to have him back, obviously. You know, and best of luck of him through his rehab process as he recovers from this injury. So I hope that answered all of your David Hamilton questions. I know the Twitterverse was so many Texas fans replied to me just like with GIFs of like, you know, the Michael Scott screaming, no, 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 no. You know, I got a couple of those. I mean, people were really upset. He's such a fan favorite type of player, and they know how important he is to the Longhorns. So I hope that, you know, as unfortunate as this news is for Texas baseball, I hope that I was able to answer a lot of your questions. Again, the season's really not that far away. It's basically a month away from starting. It's basically a week and a half away from official practices starting. Those guys will be doing voluntary group work soon. So I'd look for Mason Hibler and Bryce Reagan to be battling for that shortstop spot in those preseason practices. But really, I think that's going to be something that plays out through the early games of the season, through a schedule that gets real right away. You know, you're going on the road to Louisiana Lafayette. Like, that's tough. That's a tough way to open a season. They got number two LSU coming in for a three-game series soon after that, and then at Stanford for four games. Woof. It's going to be what's that saying? Baptism by fire? I mean, there's, you know, it's one of those guys is going to have to get better quickly and win that job early on. But I do think that starting position won't be determined until the actual games happen. You see how Bryce Reagan handles things, or you see how Mason Hibler handles things. And then really, too, can you handle, you know, being able to put Hibler other places? You know, what does the outfield look like? Are there guys, you know, is Austin Todd healthy and demanding an outfield spot again? Does Cam Fields continue to swing the bat a little bit better and maybe play some outfield before he's used as a bullpen guy? Obviously, Duke Ellis is going to be out there somewhere. You know, is Tate Shaw just a platoon guy, or is he a full-time guy? Chase Roberts, a freshman. You know, there's some other freshmen that were in the mix in the outfield during the fall, like Alec Carr. So a lot of things are going to have to sort themselves out in fall practice, but I do think you will see a lot of guys get opportunities early on in the season to win jobs when it matters most by the games. Because you can learn some things from practice and scrimmages, and they'll scrimmage a ton, but you don't really know for sure until those guys get out there under the lights and play against somebody else. That's when you can really tell what kind of player you have. So thanks for listening to this special edition, I guess, of the Extra Bases podcast, the David Hamilton edition. A real bummer for Texas, a real bummer for baseball fans that he is out for the season with a ruptured Achilles. It'll be a next man up mentality for Texas, and they'll probably look to Mason Hibler or the freshman Bryce Reagan to fill that big void at shortstop this season. Until next time, have a great week. I hope everybody is enjoying the 2019 year so far. We've got official baseball practice upcoming, which means the college baseball season is around the corner, which also means the pro baseball season. I believe spring training, you know, pitchers and catchers will probably start reporting in like a month or a little over a month. So we are almost there. We are almost to some sort of baseball being played. And then after that, it'll come so quickly. I mean, you blink and we'll be in the summer, and the college season will be winding down. The pro season will be fully immersed in its grind. So thanks again for listening. Make sure you get to theact.com and check out all our great content. Recruiting podcasts. I know the hip-hop podcasts are back and going strong. Alma Richardson's Drunk Uncle podcast, Alex Dunlap, Jeff Ketchum. we got a lot, and I know we're really excited about the content we're producing. We're going to be adding some, I believe we're going to be adding some more podcasts soon. I think listeners will really enjoy. So thank you for listening. Tune back in later this week for another edition of the Extra Bases podcast, and get to the yak.com and take advantage of all those great podcasts. And I hope you have a great week. I'm Dustin McComas of the yak.com and orangebloods.com. We'll see you next time.